This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's March 18th, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Hey.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You're probably going to be listening to this at podcast because we have a little bit of a problem, and I'll address that in a minute. You can also visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. Ron's rant of the week. Wow, same as last week. Last week it was COVID-19, otherwise known as coronavirus. And we reported that the 2020 Sea Otter Classic was postponed, I believe, until like August or something of the year. The League of American Bicyclists National Bike Summit was canceled. The Bentonville Bike Fest, by the way, I have some information on that, was rescheduled because of the COVID-19 virus. And lockdown in Italy was extended to the entire country, sparking fresh concerns up for the Giro d'Italia. Well, it happened. The Giro's out. Yeah, the Giro's gone. They have postponed it in response to the spread of the coronavirus. The Hungarian government has declared a state of emergency. By the way, the first stage was going to be in Hungary this year. This prohibits the organization of mass events and makes it impossible to organize international events. As a consequence, the organizing committee of the Giro d'Italia's Hungarian stages declared that Giro's start could not be held in Hungary at the originally scheduled time. All parties have agreed that they are determined to work together to enable the Giro to depart from Hungary at a later time. RCS Sport, having taken note of the international and national situation, announces that the date for the 2020 Giro d'Italia is thereby postponed. The new date will be announced no earlier than the 3rd of April, when provisions of a DPCM, which is the decree of the President, Council of Ministers in the Italian Republic, will end. And only after having consulted with the appropriate representatives of the Italian government, local and territorial authorities, and the Italian international sports institutions. So, yikes, they killed the Giro. I can't believe they killed the Giro. It just kills me. It's all over the news. Bicycling Magazine has a little piece about it. They talk about no new date at this point. You know, it was supposed to be the 9th through the 31st. What am I going to do? I'm going to be in major bicycle racing withdrawal right now because there's no bike racing. And now we have like wonderful Olympic TV where we can watch bike racing, and there's no bike racing to watch. Anyway,
there might be no Olympics.
It's true. Pedal and Ron is bummed at the moment because of this. So we'll see what happens here, but we just have to wait and see. Already the Strada Bianca was taken care of. The Milan San Remo went away. The Tirreno Adriatico also all gone. So this is a bummer. This is a major bummer. I don't like this. I'm not super happy. The Giro is one of my, if not my absolute favorite race of all times. And I can't believe it's gone. But anyway, we'll get back to that. So on a positive side, we are continuing to have the show, even though the University of Connecticut has shut down. Yes, we are recording our shows from the Wahoo Kicker Swift Room of our home right here in Mansfield Center, Connecticut.
You know that Zwift has a Z in it,
I know,
right?
It does. I spelt it wrong. Well, you know what? I think I got auto-corrected is what it was. And so my notes say S-W-I-F-T, whereas it is not that way.
Yeah.
So it appears that we'll be doing this for some time to come, and we are maybe, and I'm trying to work this out, but you know, you're talking about an old guy and technology. I am trying to work out a way that we can Facebook Live both of our shows for next week. So stay tuned. And if you are listening to this on a recording, obviously it's got to be on a podcast. We will be back next week at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. for our shows. And we will be FaceTiming live, which will be kind of fun. So you get to see Peddlin' Ron and Peddlin' Fran here, too. So we'll dress up funny for you. Maybe we won't. Who knows? But that's what we're going to do. Maintenance Minute. Are you cooped up inside? Everybody's cooped up inside. What's with that? Time to work on those bicycle projects that you've been putting off. And I know you've got them. I just finished one up right now. I've got a single speed project that I was working on, and it is now alive and kicking. I made a single speed cyclocross bike. I'm so excited. It's an old Batavus steel cyclocross frame from back in the 80s for all you old timers like me that remember that sort of thing. Cool bike. It's now got one gear and only one gear. The beauty of taking an old bike like that and making it into a single speed is that it doesn't have a vertical dropout. It has a horizontal dropout. Horizontal dropouts mean you can slide the wheel back and forth, which means for a single speed project, you can get the chain tension correct, which is really cool. So if you have one of those old bikes kicking around and you're thinking, you know, that's not a bad idea, maybe I'll make one of those. I'm going to use mine primarily on the rail trail out here because we have a dirt rail trail, which is flat. And it's the only flat that we really have out here in northeastern Connecticut. Everything else is pretty much loaded with hills. And I'm not so certain that Peddlin' Ron's old knees will be able to handle a single speed on the hills. I did set it up as a single speed freewheel, so it will not, you know, rip my knees apart going down hills on a fixie, but I can also flip the wheel over. I've got a flip-flop hub on it, and I can flip it over, and I can make it into a fixie if I want to, but that's going to take some... I have to convince myself on that one. So have you got any projects kicking around? Maybe there's an old bike that you've been looking at for a while. I got this mountain bike project too that's sitting out in the garage. I've got to replace a rim on the rear wheel and I've got to replace a shifter on it. And otherwise it's like almost perfect. So I might put that together. Not being much of a mountain bike guy, but you know, maybe it's time to play around with that because looks like we all have some time on our hands. Anyway, I got a feed actually from Fran, who was very alert and to this, and she let me know that there was a great video conference that was put out yesterday by USA Cycling from a Dr. Michael Roshan, and he is a medical expert who talks about the base causes of COVID-19, how it's transmitted, and all the precautions the cycling community posted on. I posted this on my Facebook page. So if you would like to see this video, you can go and check it out and click on it. I encourage this. I think there was some really, really good information. This man was obviously concerned about it. He made a quote that said, "There is serious cause for concern, but not for panic." I really like that statement. That's a great statement. And if you go to that site, you will find the YouTube page, and that is where it's at. It's on YouTube, and you'll be able to take a look and see that it didn't show up on my YouTube page. Anyway, you'll see a lot of comments to this too, which talks about what people were thinking about the video and all. Just really, really, really good information. And I would highly recommend this because it was just done, well done. And it was put out by USA Cycling. I think they did a really good job. I did get an alert from them recently, like today, that they were having some problems with the video because so many people were using the video. Obviously, I shared it on my Bicycle Talk site, and then I also shared it on my personal site on Facebook, and apparently a lot of other people did that too. And I got an alert from them that said that they were having some trouble with it, but it would be back up soon. So hopefully it is back up soon and you'll be able to watch it. But I would highly encourage you to go to the Bicycle Talk Facebook page so you can check that video out, because I thought it was very, very helpful. It's you know, it just made me calm down a little bit about what's going on. And, you know, one of the things that he stated within the video that he did, it's only 15 minutes long, so it doesn't take a lot of time, is he stated that the, you know, you really need to get out and get outside. You know, take your kids outside, get outside, ride your bicycle. It's okay to do that because, you know, you want to still keep your fitness. There was also some talk about, and he had this included in the video too, that he talked about, you know, not losing your fitness. If you're, you know, you're all into your race season. I mean, look what time of year it is. We're talking about mid-March. Mid-March for me when I was racing my bike was just about the time I was backing way down on my long, slow distance miles, and I was starting to increase my training and doing, you know, a couple of hard interval workouts per week. What I would do is I would pretty much take my training hours and I would cut them in half come this time of year. And then I would put in two highly intense workouts that were an hour, only an hour or less. And then everything else was just recovery miles that I would do. But I would actually take my hours and cut them in half about this time of year. This is the way I did it. It's old school, I know, build base miles, long, slow distance training, all that. But it did work for me, and it made it so that when I would go off to my first training race, which is now, it looks like all that stuff is being canceled and postponed too, huh, Fran? So anyway, when I go off to my first training race, I would have some legs under me and a little bit of fitness. Never felt like it was enough, but it was enough to get by and be able to finish the race and maybe have some fun. So anyway, otherwise, what are we stuck doing? Well, here we are sitting in the Zwift room, the Zwift trainer room. This is where Fran has her old Pinarello set up on the trainer here, on her Wahoo kicker. Special thanks to the Wahoo folks who helped us out with that. She comes down here and rides it when she is unable to do spin classes or any other types of exercise that are indoors.
Or if it's raining out, but
basically it makes it so you can stay on your training schedule and you can keep your fitness, because you don't want to lose your fitness over this. You want to get out and still do things. So if you can't because there's bad weather or whatever, or maybe your local community center where Pedal and Ron used to teach classes at has now shut down because it, like all other gyms in the state, have been ordered to be closed because they don't want gyms open anymore. Then you've got this machine that you can hop on and you can go out and you can work out on the machines. There's some cool stuff going on with this. And one is, you know, if you go to Bicycling Magazine, you can check in with them and you'll see that they have an article called "These Indoor Cycling Programs Can Help You Crush Any Goal: Losing Weight, Winning a Race, Staying Fit, Whatever Your Goals." And they have programs that you can check out. And this was put out by Celine Yeager on March 12th. And, anyway, talks a little bit about what you can do to stay with your training. I'm actually, I just got an email back from the community center about having some videos that you can actually train to if you want to do your training at home. And so I'm going to sit and figure out how I can do that, and maybe I will set up a video, like a 1 hour workout that I would normally teach in a spin class. And you'll find those are strewn all over the internet too. You can find them everywhere. I'm a particular fan of the Global Cycling Network. I think they're wonderful. They've got workouts that will truly break your legs. They're really, really tough, but they're very beneficial. So I strongly encourage the Global Cycling Network on YouTube. I think they're great. Check them all out. But, you know, there's also people that are apartment bound. You know, I talked to my son last weekend and I asked him what was going on. My son lives in Chicago and he lives in an apartment in Chicago and he works in downtown. And he normally would take the train and the bus to get to work And he said he's not getting on a train or a bus anymore. He's going to just sit tight. And his work has allowed him to stay at home. He normally does that on Fridays anyway. So he had brought his computer home for being remote. And now he's there, and that's what he's going to do. He's just going to stay off of the mass transportation because, you know, you're more susceptible to getting the virus if you're in a community of that size and magnitude. So if you're going to be staying home and you have the ability to do that, you can always, and you have a trainer, you can always do your workouts at home, which is a great idea. Maybe you could even, and this is kind of cool too, you can also... if you're an Apple type person, you can do a FaceTime with a friend while you're on your trainer, and they could be on their trainer, and you could be actually talking to one another while you're out for your quote unquote ride together. That's kind of a cool way to do it. I saw a Google app that's out there. I told you about that one this morning, Fran. I can't remember what I called it, but anyway, it has the ability to tie in as many as 8 people on at the same time. And you could do that. You could go for a group ride without being on a group ride. Speaking of group rides, there are precautions that are out right now from USA Cycling and also from the League of American Cyclists. They're talking about limiting your numbers on group rides. So we've had to have some serious discussion on this. Fran is in charge of our ride committee at the local Thread City Cyclers Club here. And we've had to talk about probably not starting our Saturday morning rides in April like we normally would.
Right. At this point, Thread City Cyclers, the first official ride is April 11th, unless things change. And if we do have the rides, we're going to, we can't have them in one parking lot because we usually have everybody meet in a single parking lot. We will probably have to split up, split the group, the whole club into at least 2 start locations. So we're going to talk about that more. But yeah, we were going to start our first ride of the year on April 4th, but now it's scheduled for April 11th, if that's possible, as long as things... don't change, and it may be further out than that. We have to see, because if the recommendation is really a lot of social distancing, it won't even be then. And yeah. We're not even posting group rides on Meetup, because when you post a Meetup, you don't know how many people are going to show up.
Sure.
And we're hearing conflicting recommendations. We're hearing recommendations of no more than 50 people in a group, and we're hearing recommendations of no more than 10 people.
Yeah, so it depends on who you get your information source from, right? Because it's all different out there. And really, you have to take a look at it at your own discretion. You kind of have to look at, you know, what makes sense to you and for you. Your particular area may be more infected than other areas are. I know that the numbers out here in northeastern Connecticut are far lower than they are in the other parts of the state. So, you know, we have less population, and it's all about population. The more people that you have populating an area, the more chances you have of contracting the virus. And, you know, it's not as that video said, which is, you know, again, great information on the video put out by USA Cycling. As the video said, this is not an airborne situation. It's not an airborne contaminant. It is basically a contact contaminant. So if the virus lands onto a hard surface and you touch that hard surface and then you touch your face, you're going to end up being contaminated by it. So the idea is to wash your hands like crazy, like all the time. Wash your hands 20 seconds every time you wash your hands. Make sure, and I added this one on because I read it on an internet posting, and it was, if you have long fingernails, it might be best to cut them short so that you can really wash well underneath the nails, because that's where a lot of bacteria hang out, is underneath your nails. So just something to think about. So I cut mine. Snipped them way down nice and low, and I'm holding up next to the microphone so you can see that. But anyway, but you want to just, you know, limit your contact. Out here, you know, we're pretty fortunate, I think, because we have not only less population where we are out here, but we also have gorgeous roads to ride our bicycles on, and then gorgeous off-road areas to ride your bike too. The one thing I'm going to throw out there, and this is why the Italians cut down even on recreational cycling, the one thing I'm going to put out there is pay a little closer attention to being careful and safe. Maybe riding your bike a little slower than you normally would, or a little more cautious if you're off-road riding your mountain bike and you take a look and go, I can get through there, I know I can, and you know you can't. Don't do that. You know, just let's not crowd the emergency rooms right now. We want to make sure that there's plenty of room at the hospitals for the people that are suffering from the virus to be taken care of. So let's be responsible about this. I think we can do that. We're, you know, we are advocating this all the time as we're out riding our bicycles on the road and being responsible as far as the way we handle ourselves in traffic, etc. So let's be a little more responsible about how we're training ourselves too, and how we're keeping our fitness. It's okay to keep your fitness. You don't have to go out and race every single time you ride your bike. So let's look at that and see. There's some great, you know, apps out there. If you're looking to do something indoors and you have a smart trainer, you do need that. There's one positive thing I can tell you about smart trainers. If you call your local bicycle shop, they probably have one in stock. If you're afraid to go there to pick it up, there's two ways you can handle this. And I talked to a couple of shops this week about this and said, how are you handling repairs? And one of the shops said, if people are uncomfortable, then what we will do is we will talk to them on the phone. We will then meet them curbside, and they don't even really need to get out of their car other than to maybe take their bike out, or for us to take the bike off the rack in the back. But they really don't have to have contact with us if they don't want to. And then we can go over, you know, we can get the repairs done or whatever. But you can do the same thing if you need a smart trainer, because you're like now at, you know, day six of being cooped up inside of your house or apartment, and you're about ready to tear your hair out. Get yourself a smart trainer, and then you can get a really cool app like Trainer Road or Zwift or one of the other ones that are out there. You know, have some fun with it. Make the best of it. That's the best way to do it. We want to make the best of a bad situation. That's what we're looking to do right here. So there's a lot of ways of doing it. And I know a lot of people right now, they're shut out of the gyms because the gyms are all shut down. I went by two of our local gyms yesterday. The parking lots were empty. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's really, really amazing. But there are safe ways to get out and do what you need to do. Personally, I like the get outside thing. I like that idea a little bit better. I've got to focus on an idea here and maybe put a workout together that people can use online. If I do that and I don't overload the bandwidth on my Facebook page, I'll post it to my my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. And if you want to go for an indoor ride with Pedal and Ron, we can set that up and make it happen. And I'll put together one of my famous indoor workouts. Fran knows about my famous indoor workouts.
Also, this just in.
Yes.
And this was more appropriate for my show, but too bad.
That's okay. We're talking about the coronavirus. It's okay.
In light of the threat coronavirus poses to public health, Access Health CT will allow uninsured individuals to sign up for health insurance coverage starting March 19th until April 2nd. Wow. So there's an open enrollment period right now. Well, starting tomorrow.
Yep. Wow. How about that?
March 19th through April 2nd. If you need open enrollment, you can sign up. If you just lost your insurance, you always can get.
You can always do that.
Yes.
Because I went through them on that.
Yes. But if you simply are uninsured right
now.
We
both did. Yeah.
There's open enrollment starting tomorrow through April 2nd.
You know, the beauty of this, if there can be a beauty to it, is that there's a lot of adjustments and serious concerns that the health insurance industry is addressing right now.
They are. And it's true.
And you know, and it is pointing us more towards a different type of medicine.
One that of the things that's happening right now, like I'm getting these emails in right now from my state association. They're making it easier and easier to do telemedicine.
Yeah.
They're relaxing some regulations around the formats you can use for telemedicine.
That's great.
They're making it easier. So we're going to, it looks like there's going to be a number of ways that I will be allowed to do telemedicine. So I may actually be busier.
You may be busier.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's only so many hours in the day,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a good thing. It's all a good thing. So did you know that there was a bike race that was going on for a while here, the Paris-Nice?
Yeah.
8 stages in the Paris-Nice.
Weren't you watching it?
I was watching it.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And, you know, Nairo Quintana broke away on stage 7 and he stayed away to the end. It was really very exciting.
Awesome.
It's cool. We can still watch it because I have them recorded. So we can still check that out. And it may be our only, salvation to those whole thing because at least we can watch that. But they took stage 8 away. It's gone. It's gone. They said, nope, that's enough. We can't do this anymore. So it's very, very unfortunate. There was some controversy there. There was somebody cut off Nairo, and that's not very good. But anyway, it was exciting. It was relatively flat, but there are some rolls in there. It's kind of a warm up to the Tour de France, so it's a 8 day race, and it's a whole bunch of fun to watch again. All the big time pros are usually there. So, but you know, there's teams that have pulled out. Baron McLaren pulled out of the Paris-Nice with still 3 stages to race. They're concerned about the coronavirus. It's sad. But you know, that's what it is. This is what we have to deal with. And then Sam Bennett was penalized after barging Nairo Quintana at Paris-Nice. I'm reading this off of this is the Cycling Weekly, which I believe is an Australian journal online. And, I have another little piece of information from them too, which I think it's really, really cool. And I'll bring that up here in a second. But anyway, the Paris-Nice, it was available out there. If you have the apps that you can watch it on, that's great. We have the Olympic Channel, which makes it really nice for us so we can see it. But, you know, again, that's not what everyone has, but it has been fun to watch. So that's kind of cool. So that's your Paris-Nice. And then we go to, so we did this one already on your indoor cycling. So we've got a few that I gotta skip over that one for a minute. I'll go back to this. So Mitchelton Scott, Australian professional cycle racing team, released a full list of Zwift races with the pros, including racing with Simon Yates and Amanda Spratt. So this is kind of cool. So if you are a Zwift fan and you're on Zwift, you can now go out, and they're inviting more pros to get involved in this because the pros can't do anything either. They're all stuck. So you could go out and race with the pros. What a cool idea. You're going to get your butt kicked, I'm going to tell you right now. But
and even sometimes you get lucky and you can simply go for a ride with a pro.
Yeah.
A pro will show up on a herd ride or a TikTok ride or the various groups. I'm a member of the herd, which is kind of sad because I've only ever ridden once with the herd, but that could change pretty quick.
Yeah, you're probably going to be riding with them a little bit
and
more.
And the reason I haven't...
Can ride outside if it gets nice.
Exactly.
I mean, it's 5 degrees outside right now.
Are we going for a bike ride today?
We could do that.
Yeah,
we could probably do that. I have an appointment at 1:30 I have to attend to,
okay.
But after that, I am open.
Okay.
I am definitely open. Okay. So Mitchelton Scott may have pulled out of all the races in March due to the coronavirus, but they won't be... They won't let the global spread of infection keep them away from racing. Instead, the team have launched their own special events on Zwift, which give everyday riders a chance to race the likes of their, you know, very famous riders, and of course the Yates brothers too, which is really cool. They've now released details of the full series, 16 events, and this, what was the date on this? This was, I think this is pretty recent. This was actually March 11th, so it's a while back, a few days, about a week ago. But they've released 16 events that started on Wednesday the 11th. And stage one for the Tour of Watopia, led by time trial specialist Michael Hepburn, who will be joined by other teammates for the ride too. This gives an opportunity for fans to ride with the pros. Sure, it isn't the same as actually being side to side, but you know, you get to see your name up there next to a world champion or somebody like that. That's kind of a neat thing. The pro workouts are going to be normal training sessions for the pros that have been set up by the event team coaches, but everyone who isn't at work is welcome to join in and see if they can hold the wheel. that should be interesting. The Mountain Goat Challenge will really test fans, as they're invited to take on the challenge with Vuelta Andalusia stage winner Jack Haig and Australian National Road Race champion Amanda Spratt leading those rides. Vuelta Espana 2018 winner Simon Yates will lead a pace and race challenge on March 19th. That's tomorrow, which gives you a chance to ride alongside one of the best climbers in the professional peloton. So pretty cool stuff. So anyway, it's just there's a whole list here of the different races that are available, and they go right on through the 22nd of March. So Saturday and Sunday, if you are still working and you need to get a race in on Saturday and Sunday, there's a couple of them coming up too, which is pretty cool. So what a great idea. That's really, really, really cool. You know, people are getting creative. If nothing else, people are getting creative, which is wonderful to see. It's just really, really great. And then we go back to... Everything is coming out because of this. There's all sorts of things. What do you need to know about spit and snot during a coronavirus outbreak? So as we know, we all get out, we ride our bikes, and you know, if it's a little cold out, you're probably going to have a runny nose. That could happen. You're going to have, you know, things coming up that you need to get out. And, you know, I'm definitely a spitter when I ride. I will admit that. And so anyway, there is a piece. This was from Malia Jacobson, and it was in Bicycling Magazine. And it's the story is an infectious disease specialist answers questions about how cyclists and other athletes should handle this common practice. Because it is common. It happens. So anyway, spit and snot. Do you have spit and snot when you ride your bike, friend?
Yes.
Yes. It's true.
I'm not a big spitter.
Yeah, I am.
I'm a wiper.
Yeah, I'm more of a spitter. I grew up in the woods. We spit.
Yeah.
Spitting to clear saliva that builds up during endurance sports like running and cycling is so common that it's this author barely notices when others do it. But in Seattle, the epicenter of what's now a global coronavirus pandemic, this person did notice and worried. Were unwitting spitters putting others at risk? That's a good question. Could you get sick this way, even if you tried not to touch your face, your eyes, your mouth, or worse, carry the virus on your clothing and get others sick? So there's a good question. And seeing as I'm sitting next to a medical professional here, maybe we could talk a little bit about that. What happens when the virus, an affected person has it on their clothing and you touch their clothing? Is that a surface that is to be worried about or not?
Yeah. If you have a, because you don't know. I don't know how long the droplet. So say you cough on somebody and they're within 6 feet of you and your droplets land on their clothing. I don't know how long. So, and say you have the coronavirus. All right. So how you're going to catch the coronavirus in that situation is you're going to touch your clothing. Then you're going to touch your face. That's how you would get it. And how long is that virus going to stay live on your clothing? I don't know exactly, but probably during the course of the bike ride. So so if you're going to cough or sneeze while you're on your bike and you're in a group ride, you have to cough into your elbow. You have to do what everybody's telling right. you to do, cough into right. your elbow. Or if you're carrying a, you can carry a bandana and cough into that if you want to.
And, you know, maybe swallow the spit.
Right. You know? Or if you need, I if you mean, feel like you need to spit, then you're going to have to spit into a bandana.
Yeah. Or slide off, the back of the pack. If you're in a group, which you're not supposed to be, according to all the warnings, we're supposed to stay 6 feet apart from one another.
It says right there, spreading COVID-19 via spit is possible.
It's possible, right. Yes. Right. It's spread by respiratory droplets when a person coughs or sneezes.
Right.
And transmission may occur when these droplets enter the mouths, noses, and eyes of people who are nearby. Spit
right.
contains saliva,
right.
but can also contain sputum.
Sputum. Yes.
From the lungs or drainage.
Yes. That's right. So absolutely.
Look at that. So yeah, it you know, it's something you want to avoid. So
I don't think you should spit on the ground, because what if a child walks by there and touches the spit?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or somebody's pet.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Right.
No, I don't think you should do it. I think if you're a spitter and you have to hawk up loogies.
suck it up and swallow it.
Either swallow it or carry a bandana or a towel.
Right.
Carry a little hand towel, like a small towel, and or washcloth. It's, you know, something that's small enough to carry in your pocket, and spit into that if you have to.
Right.
And keep it away from everybody. And then when you get to the coffee shop, if the coffee shop's even open, wash your hands.
Right. And then the other thing, you know, I mean, if you're sick, if you're having a lot of problems with extra congestion and all that, just stay away from the group. You know, maybe it's,
you shouldn't ride with them.
You shouldn't be riding with them.
No.
You should be out on your own.
No. Right.
You know, out on your own doing that.
If you're sick,
so,
you should be inside.
Which
be resting and sleeping.
Which brings us to the question, does racing or cycling in a group put you at risk for COVID-19? And the answer is yes. Yes.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it certainly does. And so the big concern is stray spit. You're going to have more of a problem with that. Now, you know, sweat is not as much of an issue,
no.
but, you know, it has to
no,
be.
No, it's not spread by
be,
sweat. It's spread
right.
by mucus coming out of your nose or your lungs.
Right. And yeah. and as that video said, you know, it's a contact thing. It's not an airborne thing. So,
that's right. It's
you
not...
know, there are other viruses that are airborne that, what did he say in that video? He said something about the chicken pox. If you walk into a room where there's chicken pox, it's in the air.
Yes.
And if you breathe it in, you're going to catch it.
Right. Whereas
so,
with this
but
one,
this is not
it has
that
to,
way.
No, the droplet has to land on something that you then touch and touch your face. And that's the only way you'll get it. If somebody coughs and you're far away from them and you never get in contact with a droplet, you're not going to catch it. But, you know, if people are going to ride together, that's why you should ride in small groups. And that's a reason why you really need to reconsider racing at this time, you know, actual competing. And you need to reconsider even doing competitive riding and group rides, because if you're racing, now your focus is on the race. Your focus is on getting to the town line. Your focus is on being the first one back to the parking lot. You're not focusing on the other things you need to be aware of, which is everybody's safety. Because the thing is, when you're in a sprint, you're not concentrating as much on whether you're going to fall or not.
Mm.
And if you fall... Once you fall, now you need people to take care of you, and
right.
they have to touch you.
And that's where the real issue is here. And I said this earlier in this podcast. I talked about how, you know, you have to just let's work more on
right.
being safe.
Number one,
of...
it burdens the healthcare system. But number two, if you fall, your friends are going to have to touch you.
Right.
And you don't. And we're trying not to touch each other right now.
That's correct.
So if you're going to go riding in a group ride, it's a good idea to ride in a non-competitive way. If you want to do intervals outdoors, You might even want to rethink that because, again, once you start doing your intervals, you're focusing on going fast or, you know, doing your completing your interval a little bit more than you are focusing on, you know, safety, things that are around you.
Right.
So my opinion is if you want to be really safe about this pandemic, if you want to do intervals, intervals are best done indoors.
That's a good point. That's a good point because you can do really good intervals indoors.
And if you want to go outside, you ride for pleasure or endurance.
Right.
And to enjoy your friends.
And get some fresh air.
Get the fresh air.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, my biggest issue is, and I know it's as much harder when you're in a city environment than you are when you're here, is that, you know, it's the old dilution is the solution for pollution, right? And you know, it's a funny thing. Someone told me that years ago and I got a big kick out of it. But it's true. You get outside and it's a much bigger airspace and, you know, you're not as confined or trapped by what you might possibly contract as you're in that tighter, closed environment. So get outside. And you know, I'm seeing a lot of people outside.
Yeah.
I see people out walking right now. I'm seeing people out riding their bikes.
Right.
I'm seeing, you know, because there's so many people that their kids are home from school, they're home from work, and they're going
and
nuts.
I was
because
say, they're probably going stir crazy.
They're
the kids
going
inside.
Absolutely stir crazy. Yeah. So if we could take something and make it like super positive about this, this may up the fitness level of a lot of people because of boredom and frustration with being inside, right? So we could actually have something really good come out of all of
there's
this.
There's a lot of positives that people are going to have to reevaluate their lives and reevaluate their lives in ways of what's really important to me. Because if you're sitting in your house, you're going to look around and go, gee, do I need all that stuff? That's one thing. You're going to look around your house and go, it's dirty in here. I think I'm going to clean that. And you're going to look around your house and go, I haven't read this book. Maybe I'll read it.
Yeah.
And you're going to look around your house and go, I have to get out of this house.
Yeah, you're going to look around your house and go, there's my bike. Nice outside.
I'm getting out of here. I feel like if there's no pressure to go fast, that's going to create a lot more camaraderie.
Well, I already see camaraderie. I went to the grocery store yesterday.
People really want to connect with each other.
And people just start talking to you.
Yes.
Which is, you know, Fran and I are very open and talkative people, and we tend to break into conversation in a grocery store checkout line. I can never get you home. You're just as bad as I am. No, I don't believe that's true.
Yeah.
I do not. I would like to be, I think we need a referee for this one.
I like power laying about more than you do. And if I'm ready to power lay about and you're still deep in conversation, I have to wait for you to finish your schmoozing.
Yeah, well, that's schmoozing is an important thing, though.
Yes,
it is. Right now, you have to be a little more cautious about it. But, you know, I turned around. I looked at this guy that was standing in line with me, and we just started talking. And it was, you know, we were commenting on how much better stocked the shelves were in that particular store than they were 2 days ago. And that, you know, it seems as if maybe things are starting to calm down a little bit as people are realizing that, you know, hot sauce on your toilet paper does not make a nutritional meal. So what's with the toilet paper?
Right.
Didn't I ask this in the last show? We talked about this. The toilet paper thing just blows me away. What if you run out of toilet paper?
To be fair, Ronald.
Yes.
There's two of us in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You're a guy.
I am.
I am one
woman. Last
I
checked.
And I'm often at the office.
Yep.
So we don't go through toilet paper very fast.
We
imagine
don't.
That you're if you're in a house with seven people in it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess that would be more of an issue.
Right.
But what's the worst case scenario if you run out of toilet paper? What are you going to have to do?
Well, right. You and I are going to be very comfortable. We have a lot of washcloths. We'll use those. You know, I might finally convince you to install in-toilet bidets.
There you go.
You know, there we might, you and I are, we would.
Or you can just use a washcloth and do it yourself.
That's
it's not
right.
That
could,
big a deal.
We would use washcloths. That's right. We you have can, plenty there, of washcloths. There, we can use those.
But the people that have their carts piled to the top right. with toilet paper, I just don't get it.
Right.
So,
well, I'm trying
anyway.
To explain to you. You have to realize that you and I are comfortable with the idea of using washcloths if we have to. And that it's just the two of us, and you use less toilet paper than I do, and I am one woman, and I'm not here half the time, so we don't go through it very fast. And some people, you know, personal hygiene is kind of a personal thing.
It's
and
a personal
people
thing,
vary
yes.
in terms of their comfort level with how they're going to handle their personal hygiene. You and I are like, oh, well, we ran out of toilet paper. We got washcloths. Not everybody feels that way. So
right.
some people are like, I really have to feel clean down there. I have to use the toilet paper. Or, you know, a lot of people like to use wet wipes.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I'm sure those were out of stock, too.
Oh, yeah. They're yeah. all gone. Everything's gone. Everything's yeah. gone. All the obvious things
the,
are gone.
The personal,
yeah.
the bathroom hygiene
yeah.
products.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know that
But soap and water is still available.
Did you know that in Britain, yeah. one of the things they call it is loo roll?
Loo roll. Yes.
Loo roll.
Loo roll. Loo roll. Yeah. My sister sent me over a picture, a text, and said, we have plenty of toilet paper. And then she on the text was a picture of our current president on the toilet paper, which I thought was rather humorous. But, you know, that's just us being humorous. So what if you get hit by, like, spit or mucus at a race? Well, first of all, what are you doing at the race? They've called most of them off. I don't think there's anything going on right now. It appears that all of our local events have come to a screeching halt for a while. And until we get the all clear, I believe that the races are just not happening. They've suspended race permits. The USA Cycling has suspended race permits.
Right.
So you can't have a race anyway. If you do have the race, you're not insured. So that's a problem. You definitely don't want to do that. I don't think we're going to be in any danger come cyclocross time, because it's going to be after the summer goes by and hopefully this whole thing will have settled out. But it could happen that that event has a problem. I worry about our Farm to Fork Fondos that we attend every year, because I think the first one is in
June.
Yeah.
Yes. June 13th,
early June, right? Middle June. So,
we
you know,
also have,
what's going to happen with that?
The John Jackman Tour de Mansfield.
Right.
Which is the week before that.
Mm-hmm. So there's events that we have lined up that, you know, it makes my events calendar very, very questionable at this time.
Bike Virginia was already postponed.
Virginia.
I usually go to this wonderful ride every year, the Plymouth to Provincetown ride.
Right.
And, you know, we usually sign up for it the first week of April. And the world is very uncertain right now. So I just got word from Mel Stoller, who runs it, that he's postponing the sign up at the moment.
You think about it, when you get done with that ride, you end up on a ferry with a lot of people all crowded on top of one another. So
it's a group ride. Group rides are not recommended right now.
Yep. And so anyway, what happens if you do get hit with spit or mucus at a race or an event? That's interesting. It's not transmitted through the skin.
Don't touch it and wash it as soon as you can.
If you're on the receiving end of it, avoid touching the area until you have washed with soap and water or alcohol-based sanitizer. If the area affected is the face, the same recommendation holds, but because we touch our faces more frequently and unknowingly, try to cleanse this area soon. I can see it now. There's going to be people carrying wet wipes in their race pockets.
Or little bottles of hand sanitizer.
Yeah, you put it right in your pocket.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go, right in your back pocket.
They should be giving it out as swag.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. There you go. If you can find it anywhere. That's the problem.
But you can get little pockets of hand sanitizer.
But they also recommend carrying your own hand sanitizer during group exercise. So there
you
go.
Right, well, you carry it. So if you get spit on and you have hand sanitizer, just use it on your face. Wherever it landed, you just whip it out and use it right away.
And so here's the next question here is, should we sit out all the spring races? Sitting out a race is a personal decision, depends on the likelihood that other participants would be infected as well as your own immune system. If you have cold symptoms, runny nose, sore throat, sneezing, or fever or cough, you could have a number of viruses, including COVID-19, and you should avoid races or group rides until your fever has returned to a normal for at least 48 hours. Well, geez, that's a big duh moment. No kidding. I mean, why? This is like, there's a lot of common sense here. A lot of common sense. The next question that's sitting on here is, how long can the COVID-19 live on clothing?
I asked you that before.
They don't yet know. The experts yet don't yet know the risk of transmitting the virus from surfaces like clothing.
Until it goes in the wash, that's when.
But the World Health Organization reports that coronaviruses can remain on surfaces for a few hours up to several days.
So what you do is, if you know the spot, you whip out your hand sanitizer, rub the hand sanitizer on the spot, still trying not to touch it, and then right after you rub the stuff on the spot, you sanitize your hands.
Right. And then if you...
And then don't try not to touch it, and it's contaminated until it's washed.
If your clothing gets hit, when you take it off, peel it off inside out, toss it into the washer, use hot water when you wash it.
Yeah.
And then it says here, use the dryer's high setting. We couldn't do that with our cycling clothes because... we are sitting here in our family room recording this show, and we have more drying racks than you could possibly imagine because all of our cycling clothing and our athletic clothing doesn't ever see the dryer so that it actually lasts longer.
But if you have a concern, you can put it, throw it in.
Once in a while, I suppose. Yeah. Okay. Do portable toilets pose a risk at athletic events? I would say yes. The risk of transmitting COVID-19 by way of stool or blood is currently unknown, since coronaviruses can persist on surfaces for hours, even days. It's wise to avoid touching surfaces in portable or public restrooms after taking some time for thorough hand washing or hand sanitizing after using a portable toilet. Certainly worth 20 seconds off your race time. I would say I would just not do it. I would just stay away from the event. I just really think that you're taking a risk.
There's so many ways that you could be at risk.
Yeah.
But if you're going to ride outside right now, the best way to do it is just enjoy yourself. Just go out and enjoy yourself. Don't push yourself too hard. Like, outside right now is not a place for racing and training.
This is a great time to work on your base.
Yeah.
You know, work on your base fitness.
So this year is just going to be all about that base.
All about that base. Yeah, no travel. Right. Yeah. Very good.
Do your intervals indoors. I don't see a problem with doing your intervals indoors in front of your Zwift or your Trainer Road or your Sufferfest or your Exert or whatever.
I think you're right there because you're right. You have less of a chance of having a crash situation if you're doing it indoors. Rarely have I seen, I've been teaching indoor cycling for 16 years now, and I have not had one crash.
No. I suppose somebody could fall off their bike.
They could, but I've never had that happen.
No, I know, right?
Yeah. So, I will say that, I have a very, very safe indoor cycling class because we currently have no major cases of crashing or road rash in the indoor class.
Right.
So now, if we were riding on rollers, that would be a different story.
Right.
But and I highly encourage the use of rollers. By the way, hey, if you've got a set of rollers kicking around or your friend does and you've never ridden them before, now's a great time to learn how to ride the rollers.
I don't know about that.
Well, I'll tell you why, because it makes you a better rider. It totally makes you a better rider.
But you could fall.
You could fall, but you're going to fall into the wall. Because,
if you don't know how to use rollers, your balance is at issue. I would be afraid to learn how to use rollers right now because if I fell and I hurt myself enough, now I have to go access the healthcare system.
See, I would set you up, and I was just going to mention this. If you're learning and you're new to rollers and you've never used them before, a hallway is a great place to do it because should you lose your balance, you just reach out and grab the wall and you're fine. Don't do what my friend John did and throw your shoulder hard into the wall and go through the sheetrock, though. That's
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. But he was okay, but his house wasn't so good because he put a big hole in the wall. He hit right between the two studs and went right through the sheetrock. So big shout out to John on that one. And since it's a common name, we won't know which John that was, except for us personally. So anyway, should cyclists handle spitting around others? I just avoid it. We already talked about this. Don't do this. How can you protect yourself at races and group rides? Don't share water bottles. Consider, don't do that. Consider skipping on communal drinks and nutrition from aid stations. Practice good cough etiquette by coughing and sneezing into your arm, not your hand. Wash your hands with soap and water after using the bathroom, or use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you're unable to wash your hands for any reason. Consider bringing hand sanitizer or wipes to use after portable toilets. Cleanse your hands with hand sanitizer or soap and water, and after any possible contamination before eating. Volunteers at water stations should consider wearing ponchos or gloves to protect themselves and others. Wear sunglasses to protect your eyes from stray droplets.
Wow.
Woo! Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's like hazmat time, baby. It's just kind of crazy. But, you know, if you need more information on any of this, you can check the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention or the World Health Organization and check on their updates, and they will let you know, what the latest protocol is and the latest, you know, things that you need to watch out for. And that pretty much brings me to, you know, we obviously know how the coronavirus is impacting cycling. I don't need to get into that any further. The bike racing schedule is ridiculous. Will there be a Tour de France this year? Good question. We don't know. So there's just so many variables here. So we really don't know what's going to happen.
Bike Virginia is at the end of June, and
they bumped it already. Yeah. Right. So, you know, stay put. Don't worry about it. Talk to your friends. Go on. If you have a computer and you're able to, you know, do some FaceTiming that's good. Get to know your neighbors, you know, knock on their door, stand 6 feet out and say hi. you know, I mean, really, this is a great time to get out. My sister made mention of this. She said that they were out for a walk the other day because, you know, they were cooped up in the house and needed to get out. They went out for a walk. And when they went out for that walk, they ended up with, they saw all these new people out walking.
And 14,651 people are Zwifting right now.
Right now, they're Zwifting. 14,000 people are Zwifting right now. And hey, if you have the opportunity and the luxury of having a machine that you can Zwift with and a computer that you can do that with, then go for it. You know, make some new friends there too. But
you can text, or if you go on a group ride, you can talk to them with Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I hear Fran downstairs talking. I can hear the music's up loud. I can hear the whir of the bicycle as she's then she's chattering away down here.
Yeah,
and,
but it wasn't Discord. I'm simply voice texting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're doing something.
Yeah, anyway. I'm talking to somebody on the screen. Sure.
Hey, Franny, this brings me to the events section. Well, that one's pretty empty. That's pretty empty. All I have right now is, because everything else is gone, 9th annual Thread City Century Ride, the Thread City Cycler Century Ride on July 26, 2020. Come explore the roads that Pedal and Ron and Fran ride on. And Saturday, August 15th, 2020, save the date. It's the Steeplechase Bike Tour, a ride for almost everyone, and also includes a 5-mile walk if you're not riding a bicycle, or one of your family members is and you don't have a bicycle. So you can do that too. So those events are still on, as far as I know, although the meeting that I had to go to for the steeplechase was canceled. So we're exploring new ways of communicating with one another, using email a lot. But anyway, events are limited as far as that goes. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Peddlin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You are listening to this on podcast right now because we are not broadcasting from the University of Connecticut campus, but you can listen to us and other past episodes on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, that's we're working on that one. Please send me an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is supposed to be 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs. Thanks for listening.